Well, good morning, church.
Good
morning. Okay, I can say good morning. Sometimes, you know, it's still morning, yes. No, it's not. Good afternoon, church. All right, we'll change this. So as Dean mentioned, we're in this series. We're just starting it. It's called Triggered, and it's about how to deal with anxiety in your life. And actually, there was a member of the church who said, Brian, you know, with everything that's going on in this world, with things that have even happened here in the last few weeks here, literally in Ephrata, you know, we can kind of have this feeling of anxiety in our life and stress in our life. And I don't know about you, I'm a little bit stressed about this weather that's coming. You know, some of us aren't. You're good to go. But I mean, there's a lot of things like that. And I don't know about you, but I have a very specific spiritual gift. I can imagine the worst possible outcome of any situation. I can, in less than 6 seconds. Anybody with me? Yes, good. You have that spiritual gift too. I thought it was just me. That's wonderful. You know, the doctor says, hey, Brian, we just have to run a few tests. And I'm like already planning my goodbye tour. You know, I'm out there. You know, it's 11:47 at night and the phone rings. And I'm just thinking one of you's in jail or at the hospital or maybe in jail after the hospital. I think of Sean. I oftentimes say he's in jail or he's either in that jail or in the hospital. And then, you know, I was having some chest pain and I Googled chest pain. That's on me. I learned my lesson, but apparently according to the internet, I probably should have died 3 days ago. And so that's kind of where I am. And here's the thing, it doesn't even have to be real danger. Like it doesn't even have to be something that's in the room. It could be hypothetical danger, right? I think of all things. My brain is, don't ever go in my brain. It's all over the place, right? And I think, what if I say the wrong thing? What if the economy collapses? What if everyone realizes I don't know what I'm doing at any given point in time, you know? And I think about that. What if the wheel on the plane like falls off? Like what would I do, you know? What if a tree falls on my car while driving and I slip off the road? How would I handle that situation? Of course, my favorite. What happens if there's a zombie apocalypse? Like, where am I? I'm going to Greg's house. And we're hanging out there for a little while. And all of those things kind of go into my mind. And even as little things like my car doors, like when I walk away from my car door, I push the lock button. I make sure it beeps. I'll go a little bit further and I'll push the beep again. And I probably beep it 100 times as I'm going into Target, wherever you want to go. But I make sure it's locked. Absolutely locked because I'm just terrified. I'm worried that someone's going to come in and take my golf clubs that are always in there. So I get this fear, and I do look at all of those things, and I think, God, why am I so anxious? Why do I worry so much about things that are just inconsequential, right? Or why am I worrying about things that are so heavy in our world right now? You know what, friends? Fear does not need facts. You know? It needs imagination and free time. Yeah, that's all that it needs. And we're living in a golden age of both, right? I don't wake up thinking, good morning, Lord. You know, what peaceful world you have made. I wake up thinking, I wonder what fresh chaos waits us today. Yeah? You know, I think sometimes some of you wake up and you're ready to seize the day. And I think sometimes I'm the one who's being seized before I even get out of bed. You know, if I'm even more vulnerable and more candid, sometimes my faith feels strong on a Sunday, and by Tuesday it's absolutely flimsy. And I sing, I will not be shaken, but then I get rattled by an aggressive email. You know? I mean, let's admit this together, friends. The world is scary. Can I get an amen? And it's not a boo kind of scary, right? It's this burning, low-grade background anxiety scary, right? We notice anxiety because it makes us feel tense, right? I mean, it's a racing heart, a tight chest, right? A high blood pressure. And all of us experience anxiety. And for many people, it's a daily struggle here, right? Anxiety is not necessarily caused by a lack of faith in God or a subpar prayer life or that you're not reading your Bible enough. Certainly, God's word speaks to anxious thoughts, and our sin can cause anxiety, but we ought not to feel shamed or be shamed, right, because of things that are beyond our control. Anxiety is real. And I don't know about you, I have stopped watching the news. Yeah. I can't do it. It's just too much for me to handle in my heart. My blood pressure goes up. I start to get angry. I want to throw things at the television. All of these things are not healthy for me. And when I look on Facebook, it even gets worse because all of the things that are happening on Facebook, everything is so quick to be shared nowadays, right? Bad news travels a lot faster than good news. We're constantly alert, constantly one notification away from spiraling, right? Things are unpredictable. They're beyond our control. And we worry about our kids and our parents and our jobs and our health and our future. We worry about the things that we can't control. We worry about the things that we could control if we would just get more sleep, right? And then we worry about those things that are none of our business, but we feel that anxiety anyway burning in our hearts. We're afraid of being alone, afraid of being forgotten, being exposed, of being irrelevant, or maybe too relevant for the wrong reasons, right? And we don't need a real mountain to be shaken, right? A bad day will do. Do you know mountains in our lives, they don't fall automatically. They erode slowly. And so trust erodes slowly, and stability and certainty and relationships. And somewhere along the way, many of us started quietly believing this lie. If things feel this fragile, God must be distant. And we don't say it out loud, but we feel it here, right? Deep down, we wonder, if God is with us, then why does everything seem so unstable? And I think this is why Isaiah 54:10 matters so much for us today, because it wasn't written for a people who were sipping lattes in the calm season of life, right? It was written for people who knew fear intimately. And so go ahead and open up your Bibles to Isaiah. We're going to be in chapter 54 and verse 10, and we're going to take a walk through this. Let us read it together as a congregation. Here we go. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed, but my steadfast love shall not depart from you, and my covenant of peace shall not be removed, says the Lord who has compassion on you. Now, before we kind of dive in, we're going to go through each one of these kinds of areas of the scripture, and it's going to talk about how God will be with us and provide for us in the midst of our anxiety, in the midst of our fear. But context is really king. Anytime you read scripture, a lot of people will kind of pull out this one scripture and say, this is what the scripture says, but they're not looking around it, they're not looking in front of it or behind it to determine the real interpretation of it. So let me kind of set up this, because context is king. You cannot appreciate the sunshine, the wonder of this verse without feeling the thunderstorm that has happened in the previous chapters in Isaiah. You see, Isaiah is writing to a people that were afflicted and storm-tossed. They were not comforted. I mean, they were in Babylon. Their temple, the place where they thought that God resided, right, had been reduced to a parking lot. They weren't just afraid at this moment. They were absolutely feeling rejected by God. And they thought that God had left them high and dry and totally disconnected from them. But in chapter 54 here, God uses what we would call marriage language. He says, for a brief moment I had left you, right? But with everlasting kindness, I will have compassion on you. He's setting the stage for the promise of what sounds too good to be true here. And so he begins in verse 10 here saying, this image of the mountain, right? Now, in ancient times, mountains were the only things that people could trust, right? Kings would come and go. People would come and go, right? Borders would be constantly shifting and things like that. Rivers would dry up, but the mountains would always be there. There'd be the everlasting hills. And in the Hebrew, the word here is depart, which means to withdraw or to cease. And so Isaiah, he's planning, they're saying this kind of doomsday scenario that he's put up, that everything is going to, he's saying, imagine if the Alps, right, just decided to go on vacation. Like, imagine if they just got up and left, the whole Alps, right? Or imagine if the Himalayans, right, the Himalayas melted like butter and just disappeared. That's what he's saying here. Now, if you're, again, you're thinking back as a Jewish person back then, and you're thinking the mountains are the only things that we have sustenance. We know Mount Sinai, we have all these places. We feel like God's present in those moments. What would happen if all of those things would just go away? And that's how he sets it up. For the mountains may depart and the hills be removed. moved. He's setting up this greater and lesser comparison. What if all this were to happen? Now, it's easy for us to trust the things we can touch, yes? And it's easy for us to maybe not believe in the things that we can't see. But Isaiah flips this script and he says, the mountains are the flimsy things, and God's love is the bedrock. And so as we lean into this, we understand this idea that he's talking about the mountains are going to depart, and the hills are, the things that we knew we could trust are being taken away from us. He goes into this next part, the lesser. The mountains are going to be taken away. But my steadfast love shall not depart from you. The things that you see that would totally be taken away from you, the things that you've always trusted and always been a part of, the things that you go to the mountain, and let's say all of that is gone. My love still stays right there. Now, this is the meat of the text. And we're just looking at one verse, friends. This is the meat of the text right there. There's a word called hesed. Everyone say hesed. So hesed, if I could teach you 10 Hebrew words, hesed would be probably the first word I would want you to understand and know. So we're going to spend just a little bit. It says this, but my steadfast love, my hesed, shall not depart from you. Hesed is, I think, one of the most important words in the Old Testament. It's often translated as mercy and kindness or loving kindness, but none of those actually work to the strength that he's trying to tell us here. Hesed is covenant loyalty. It is not a feeling love. It's a legally binding kind of love. It is, I have my reputation tied to your well-being kind of love, right? It's a love that a parent stays up all night with their sick child, right? Not because it's fun, right? It's because of the love, because that child belongs to you, you do that, right? We use the word love for so many things. I love my wife, I love curly fries, right? I mean, we say it for so many things, but the curly fries get cold and my love departs from them, right? But God is saying, my hesed isn't based on your temperature. It's not based on what you do. It's part of my character and my nature. And so who I am love. And I love you with all of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. God is pouring into us. And so when I read a verse like Isaiah 54:10, my first reaction isn't amen. It's more like, okay, God, have you seen the news? Where is this love? It's not out there. God promises, though, in the midst of all of what the world is going on in the world, he has love for us, care for us. He goes on to say that my covenant of peace shall not be removed. And the word for this is berit shalom, which is covenant of peace. He says the word removed here is the same word of being the mountains being removed or stumbling or shaking. And God is contrasting the mountains being removed and his love shall not be removed. And it's this idea that the world, it's going to be removed from us. Everything's going to be left powerless. But my covenant, my love, who I am, will never be removed from you. Those mountains that are falling away, that will never happen. It's an attitude of provision of what he's trying to share here. I will always be with you. I will always walk with you. I will always guide you in this moment. And it's kind of like this do or die agreement that God has with us. I will never leave you and never what? Forsake you. The covenant of peace. God is saying, I have officially declared an end to the war between my holiness and your messiness. He's saying, I got you. I got you. You know, all of these mountains, all of these things, if they're all thrown into the sea, if they're all crumbling, just know that I love you with a deep, abiding love. And I want peace. I want shalom in your homes. I want shalom in your life. That's what he's trying to say here. He goes on to say, says the Lord who has compassion on you. And this verse ends kind of with this title of the Lord who has compassion. The Hebrew word for compassion is rachamim, which is a fun word to say, but I won't make you say it, which is closely related to the word womb on a mom, womb. It isn't a judge looking down and saying, you know, I guess I'm just going to be nice today. Right? It's a mother's love. It's visceral. It's protective. It's a don't mess with my kid kind of energy, right? God isn't staying with us because he has to. God is staying with us because he wants to. He has compassion on us. He desires to be with us. And so when Isaiah 54:10 hits the page, God is looking at a bunch of nervous wrecks in the state of Israel and Babylon saying, look at the hills. I mean, they're pretty big, right? I mean, they're huge out there, pretty solid. Well, watch this. Even if those big rocks were to crumble into the sea, my hesed, my love, my covenantal love is glued to your soul. My peace, my shalom is surrounding you and creates an atmosphere for you to be a part of. And I am not just your king. I'm the one who carries you like a mom. In a scary world, God's character is the only thing in the universe that doesn't have a best buy date. It is consistent. It is constant. It is always there. And so when you're feeling this anxiety, right, and maybe you're sitting here even this morning thinking, man, I just lost my job, or maybe my family's falling apart, or I can't even get my plans to survive, like, let alone my own life. The truth is, God sees your fear. God knows your anxiety. And God knows, understands that sometimes the world looks like it's this terrible roller coaster that forgot to make seatbelts, right? But Isaiah promises, right, that we are not alone, that when the mountain shakes, God is still steady. When your hill disappear, God is still present there. When the world around you feels scary, God's love will still undergird you. And so what he's saying here is, in the midst of all of this anxiety and all of this fear and all of this worry, just stop and breathe. Yeah? Take a sip of coffee or tea. Not tea, that's garbage water. Or whatever you've got, just stop. Just stop and breathe and just calm down for a little bit. Because God is with you, even in the shaking, even in the falling, even the world feels like it's auditioning for a disaster movie. When the worries of the world rise up and we look around and wonder if we're still going to be able to make it through the mess and the brokenness and pain, friends, all we need to do is not look at the things of the world, but look to God, right? We don't know why our brains go berserk over the things that of this world. We just need to keep looking to God. And so, church, I want us to leave here with this in mind today. See, the word of God is with us. God's love is unshakable. God's peace is unmovable. And friends, I don't know about you, sometimes I just need to laugh at the absurdity of life. And as I've been doing over these last couple of weeks, just cry at its weight. But I know that even in the midst of all that, I can still walk forward in courage, because the one who loves us never shakes. The one who loves us never lets go. Even when the mountains move, we will not fall. Let's pray. God, I thank you for your love and for your grace. I thank you for the hope that is found in you and you alone. For Lord God, you are the King and Lord over all things. God, I just pray in moments where we look at the world and we look at our lives, we just wonder, God, what is happening? What is going on? And I just pray, Lord God, that in the moments where we're feeling that, we can do exactly what the scriptures say and help us understand that you love us deeply. That you want peace in our lives, and that your compassion abounds. For Lord God, we seek you in all things, knowing that at the center of our faith is you, standing there with arms wide open, ready and waiting for us to come running to you. For Lord God, we pray these things and we name him in the precious name of your Son, Jesus the Christ. Amen.